This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Now, the AGMC conference, pretty important event which has been taking part, and we've covered this in a number of ways. Joseph Chakuti is from Lygon Street Legal Services, and Joseph has written a book called Sydney's First Mardi Gras, What Brought It On and How It Changes. And I should disclose, I'm a 78er, but on the day, people telling me something was happening and I was in a bar, and next thing you know, I'm involved in a protest. Next thing you know, I'm arrested. And whilst I had very particular views on this, I wasn't actually in Sydney or in that area because I knew it was happening. I only discovered it when I was there. But Joseph wants to talk about some of the myths that have grown up around Sydney's first Mardi Gras. Welcome, Joseph, and good morning.
Thank you for inviting me. Good morning.
And so tell us about the myths. I love a good myth.
Well, I think, first of all, we've got to look at the context that the Mardi Gras took place. People talk of the 1970s, and really it's a story of woe is me. I am not denying that there were problems. You know, there were police arrests and there were difficulties in Beats. A number of people, in fact, got murdered, especially at Bondi. But the 1970s for me was really a decade of celebration. I started off realizing my childhood dream of working towards becoming a Franciscan priest. And by the end of 1972, I was, in fact, part of the homosexual movement and one of a number of revolting poofs and dykes running around the streets. So it was quite a change. The 1970s was great because we had a very strong community, and especially in Sydney, the gay male ghetto was very, very strong, certainly by 78. But there was also the question of politics. There were a lot of people who were on the far left. I'm not just talking about the left, I'm talking about the far left. And they were really a minority within our movement. But they, for some reason or another, which is not surprising, they tended to dominate the narrative of the Mardi Gras. I have to say that the Communist Party of Australia was not really part of the far left. It was quite interesting that here you had a party that Menzies tried to destroy and ban. And by 1978, of course, they were Euro-communists. Yeah. They were anti-Stalin and that sort of thing. So this is why you had someone like Lenz Gowland, who was a communist, who worked so cooperatively with Kemp, and he looked at the Mardi Gras, as did Ron Austin, who thought of the first Mardi Gras as apolitical. Incidentally, also Mark McMahon regarded it as apolitical. You really could not have a political protest in Oxford Street, not at that time of the night, not in the middle of winter. You know, who would be looking at us? Yeah. It just was not possible. So that was one of the big bits that I came across. And I have to say that I was part of that myth. I was socialized into thinking of Mardi Gras as a protest. So it was really a journey for me. When I started to look at the research and the evidence, I realized that I was part of that myth.
Yeah. So, you know, for so many, I mean, Mardi Gras as an event, as an organization, yes, was born out of protest and born out of discrimination, and you know that there wasn't really a lot of political engagement around this issue right across the spectrum. Certainly not in mainstream politics. We saw over the years that Mardi Gras, as an organisation, and I said this when I was at the Also Foundation, had lost its mojo in terms of understanding why it was there, why people did march.
Yeah, well,
they've got it back, I think, in recent times. But it's interesting what you say, Joseph. The politics around this, you know, and you know, the Communist Party of Australia, which, fair to say, pretty irrelevant. But as Euro-communists, of course, they had to be more. They had to abandon their Stalinist views.
Absolutely. You see, with all due respect, I don't agree that the first Mardi Gras was born out of protest.
No.
And what we had on the 23rd, 24th of June was the attempt to celebrate the 9th anniversary of the Stonewall riots. Now, what was interesting is there were two events that bookended the political marches, which was, I mean, there was a march in the morning, of course, and there was the public meeting in the afternoon. So on the Friday night, you had a lesbian event at Petersham Town Hall, which was really a party for lesbians. And on the Saturday night, there was a party for the boys.
Yes.
Okay, so that is where I think we failed to put it in some degree of context. People who were dancing, I don't know which bar you came from. Where were you at?
Oh, look, I'm just trying to remember. I remember the guys that were with me, I was having a drink, and they're saying, oh, look, you know, blah, 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 and there's going to be a bit of a march and all this sort of stuff. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'll be up for that. Didn't, you know, I always had a view that, you know, why are we so discriminated against? Why are we so illegal? Why, you know, why is there this problem? And yes, look, I do it as a protest movement's probably the wrong way to do it. That's what it became subsequently. It was about commemorating, or, you know, about saying, hey, this has happened elsewhere in the world. Let's actually have put our hands up.
It was really a celebration, but we've got to remember that in 1978, the far left wasn't thinking of the politics of celebration.
Oh no!
And we also have to, you know, when we think of Mardi Gras being political, and I'm probably the first one to say this, but I'll go on record. But Oxford Street in 1978 was a site of civil disobedience. It was a site of civil disobedience every night of the week. I mean. We're just defying the law. You know, the bars, we would then go to Green Park, and we used to have a great deal of fun in Green Park. It used to take me about 45 minutes to walk from one end to another. It was probably the length of the Bourke Street Mall. You know, we would stop, we would talk to friends. You know, sometimes we would see the police, sometimes we would run away from them, sometimes we would hide behind cars, sometimes we would wave at them. So it was really a great deal of fun, and that, I think, is important to remember.
And, you know, what is, I suppose, yes, there's, you know, there's those personal reflections and the fact that, yes, it was, you know, it was civil disobedience. You know, and similarly in Melbourne, you know, there were venues in Melbourne that, you know, were a bit underground, but, you know, the only people that knew where it was were us, and only some of us, not everyone, and the police, because the police would be waiting for you. You know, one of Melbourne's most notorious beats, Como Park, otherwise known as Homo Park, you know, that people in our community would often, not even if they were going home that way, would not drive that way in case, you know, they had to slow down or something, and, you know, they might get harassed by the police. So it was actually quite a nasty environment.
But Sydney was very different to Melbourne. Yeah. Melbourne was decentralised. Sydney was centralised in Oxford Street. Mm. And, of course, when we came to Australia...
It was a one-stop shop.
Yeah, when we came to Australia, when we live, you know, the first place that we lived was in Boundary Street, Boundary Road in Paddington.
Yes.
So that there was quite a strong ethnic community there. And this is why I keep emphasising the context with Mardi Gras.
Now, not a lot of... I understand what you're saying, and I'm not going to disagree with you. A lot of people wouldn't like you saying this, would they?
Oh, I have to say that I made a few enemies, especially among...
You've got to have a few.
78ers. But look, I don't care, you know. No. I'm trained as a lawyer.
Yeah.
I look at the research and the evidence, you know, speaks, and that's all I care about.
Nothing wrong with a bit of evidence.
Well, it's terribly important. I'm not interested in opinions, you know. As philosophers understand the term opinion, I'm interested in arguments. I'm interested in, and again, as philosophers think of an argument, I'm interested in that sort of thing, in evidence, in trying to put, facts in some context.
So if you're interested in reading this, Joseph's book is called Sydney's First Mardi Gras, What Brought It On and How It Changed Us, and has a foreword by the Honourable Michael Kirby.
It's actually Sydney's first gay Mardi Gras.
Oh, Sydney's first gay... Sorry, Jason. Yeah,
because there was another Mardi Gras, you see, in Sydney.
Oh, I know,
and that's the problem.
Yes, I know. People get confused. And it's got, and you can recognise the book because it's red, yellow and blue, and on the back it has a joy sticker, so it's a very good thing. Look, thank you, Joseph.
You're welcome.
That's a really good perspective, and I'm 178, and I'm not going to disagree with you.
Thanks again.
So there you go. You got at least one vote there.
And don't forget, Joseph will be speaking at the AGMC, which is the 21st to the 23rd at the St Kilda Town Hall.
Yes.
So if people want to go and meet Joseph, they can do so there.
That's right. There you go.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.